Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, a reading we often read in this time of year. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came up from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Through these words, God's voice is heard.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as the reading of our psalm reminded us this morning, your voice is a voice that has spoken throughout the ages. You speak to us, your people, in a variety of ways, in a variety of tones, telling us a variety of things. And yet sometimes it is so difficult to discern your voice from all of the other voices that call us to follow. Help us, O God, to listen carefully, to discern wisely, and then to follow faithfully. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, of all of the evils inflicted on us by the expectations of the world, aside from cleaning our living space, buying groceries has to be about the worst. And I know you'll all relate to this. I always choose the wrong line. In my post-Christmas somewhat foul mood, I stopped in to pick up a couple of things at No Frills up here. The one that's closing, by the way, I'm really upset about that, I just want you to know. I just had to pick up a couple of things, and I stumbled into the closest line, and this is what unfolded. A young mom with a little guy just big enough to, you know, barely reach the counter was in front of me with what seemed like a really small order, which should have been dealt with quickly. But, oh no, Junior had to unload the cart. Okay, I've had children. I understand they have to learn to be responsible. But here's the kicker. He had to place each item, one at a time, on the belt, after which he would look to his mom for what he knew would follow. "Oh, sweetheart, what a big helper you are. Look at how careful you are with all of mommy's groceries, putting everything down so carefully. We're going to tell daddy when he gets home today what a good boy you were. I am so proud of you." My, how things have changed over the generations, have they not? I'm just guessing that most of you grew up in families where praise from especially the male parent was not easily forthcoming. I was a pretty driven child, at least academically speaking, always striving for perfection. But praise for that 98% I would bring home was always tempered by the look from the Father that said, "You probably could have done better." I knew my Father loved me. I had not a doubt. But you know, it was only in his latter years that he found himself able to say those words. And I think I'm glad I grew up feeling I had to prove myself, actually. But somewhere, I think there's probably a good balance, isn't there? I love our reading today from Mark's Gospel because it captures that picture of a loving, proud parent that warms our hearts. If I were writing my own version of the story, instead of "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," it would probably just simply read instead, "That's my boy." I mentioned it in my sermon on Christmas Eve morning that this is one of those moments where some believe that Jesus was adopted by God as his son. Whether or not that resonates with us, for sure this is one of those epiphany moments in the Gospels when we are reminded that Jesus is someone special. One of those moments when that epiphany light goes on, so to speak, and we're all aware we need to pay attention. Last week we talked about how we come to know Jesus through the passing down of the faith from one generation to another. Today we focus on how we come to know Jesus through God's voice revealing his nature to us. And thankfully, throughout the Bible, we do find that great balance in the words God speaks to his people. Sometimes those words of affirmation, reminding them they are cherished and loved and special. Other times he speaks words of challenge, reminding his people that they could indeed do better as followers of a way of love and forgiveness. But the hard part, the really hard part for us, is figuring out how we discern God's voice from the multitude of voices that vie for our attention. There's a line in a slightly outdated wedding service I love that reminds us that many voices seek to counsel us. And we need to stay focused on the voice that is that of our God. But how do we ever know for sure which voice is God's? Now, the obvious answer to this question is the one I found most often when I researched it, and it's one affirmed in Scripture that says that as we follow God more closely, we come to recognize his voice more easily. Okay, fair enough. As we grow closer to God and listen more attentively, I agree that we get better at knowing his voice and choosing his voice from others. But I'm pretty sure we can all probably draw to mind moments when we question whose voice people are really hearing when they claim to have received direction from God. And I'm pretty sure the first thing that might come to mind for many of us, especially these days, is the American political right wing that always claims to have an inside track on God's will. And of course, we need only look back with a superficial glance on the history of the Christian church to find evidence of behavior that is anything but life-giving. Crusades, witch hunts, the native schools that we were so sure were such a good thing. So many things have been done in the name of God, claiming to have discerned his will, his way, and his voice, for which we now find ourselves apologizing. And it becomes a little daunting for us to think that we might be able to choose his voice over others. So how then do we know God's voice, and how do we discern it from the other voices that compete for our attention? Well, the first thing I would suggest is this. Ask yourself, does the call, does the voice that's speaking to you sit right with you? Okay, I can hear some of you thinking, here she goes again with that, it has to feel right deep down inside, ENFP stuff. But just give me a moment and I'll appeal to some of you other personality types as well. I really do believe that if we sit with something in quiet contemplation and in prayerful listening, then it will become clearer to us if we are following the will of a higher presence or just our own selfish whims. And yes, those of us with a certain personality type are better than others at this sort of introspective discerning. To share the perspective of one of our members, as I read through Rosemary Morden's journal this week in preparation for her memorial service, I found these words. Rosemary wrote, "Listen for that voice inside, guiding you toward the right thing to do, the right path to travel, and the knowledge of what will bring you happiness and fulfillment." That voice can be very quiet, like a whisper, but over time, and mostly through the challenges in life, you will hear it more clearly. Whenever you feel that tug to do something new, help someone in need, or share what you have learned, listen carefully. It is a fine art, for sure, that takes practice and deliberate listening. But of course, that isn't the only filter through which we pass these voices that we might hear. And there is, as well, the filter of reason. Does it rationally make sense to you? Can you justify what you feel called to do through not just your heart, but your intellect? This step is such an important one, and sometimes it is overlooked by those of us who rely more on emotion. Along with that feeling deep down inside, we need to be sure to ask, does it make rational sense to you? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't sometimes call his people to do things that seem a little out of line with society's expectations and norms. You know, building arks and that kind of stuff. I have friends who head off on mission trips that sure seem a little irrational to me at times if we're purely concerned about personal safety and security. But I'm talking about just giving things a rational once over before we assume that we're headed in the right direction. And then finally, I'm going to suggest that we rely on our denomination to give us some assistance on this one. Unlike some other denominations, we in the United Church, almost without fail, attempt to err on the side of grace and of compassion. And so I think we also need to test the voices that we hear against our perspective as members of a mainline, liberal, Protestant, progressive church. And so we have to ask the question, is the voice you are hearing calling you to any action that is hurtful to others? Again, we need to remember that sometimes God's voice can challenge us and can shake us with some force out of old patterns and behaviors. Sometimes we might be called to be the voice that shakes others out of complacency. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a call that inflicts deliberate judgmental hurt on another. I will never forget the year back in the 80s when a dear friend was ready for ordination, but because he learned of a campaign that was being organized to oppose his ordination on the floor of conference because of his sexual orientation, he withdrew his request for ordination. We do not believe in the United Church in a God that calls us to exclude others based on race, on sexual orientation, or on any other superficial grounds. So unlike our more conservative sisters and brothers who believe God calls them to pass judgment and to exclude, we believe in a God of grace who seeks to always draw in, to always welcome, and to embrace those whom the world might otherwise leave behind. Okay, enough already. I know I'm way over my usual sermon length, but, you know, it's been cold. I've had nothing else to do but sit home and write. So last week we talked about getting to know Jesus through the generational stories that are passed down through dialogue with others. This week we are reminded it is also through listening for and discerning that voice, that wonderful voice that has not only spoken through time, confirming Jesus as his son, as one we follow, but the voice like that of a parent that also calls and claims us as beloved children, worthy of his grace, called and equipped to do his will, of whom he is so proud. So then, listen carefully, discern wisely, and then follow faithfully.